There's a very specific visual illusion that modern cities rely on.
Oh, absolutely.
You're walking past a facade, maybe a high-end car dealership, or you're looking up at a corporate high-rise, and you see these massive, perfectly flat metallic surfaces.
Right, they look like thick, heavy plates of steel or solid aluminum.
Exactly. It projects this image of immense mass, like it's indestructible, just
And
monolithic.
that's a trick.
It has to be. Because if those buildings were actually clad in solid metal plate thick enough to stay that flat,
The structural steel required to hold all that weight up would essentially bankrupt the project.
right, it would be a complete nightmare. You'd be dealing with massive dead loads, not to mention the raw cost of aluminum plate at that thickness.
It's just not feasible for covering thousands of square feet.
So that brings us to what we're doing today. We are doing a deep dive into the material that solves this exact paradox.
The secret weapon of modern architecture.
We're looking at a fascinating guide from FIDAR System. It's called Architectural Excellence, the Aluminum Composite Panel Guide.
And we usually just call them ACPs.
Right, ACP.
Yeah.
And the takeaway today isn't just it's a lighter panel. Our mission here is to move past the common misconception that these are just cheap plastic panels.
Yes. We really want to explore how this material balances weight, strength, and aesthetics. It literally defines modern architecture.
We're going to uncover why this specific sandwich of materials is the go-to for architects, and why, if you're searching for 4x8 plastic panels online for a serious project,
You are definitely going down the wrong path.
you really are. So let's start by deconstructing this sandwich. What actually is an aluminum composite panel?
Well, physically, it's an engineered composite. You have two very thin aluminum sheets, and they are bonded to a non-aluminum core.
Hence the sandwich analogy.
Exactly. The aluminum skins are the bread, the core is the filling.
And according to the FIDAR guide, that core isn't just one standard material, right?
No, it varies based on the application. The most common ones are polyethylene, which is a type of plastic, often abbreviated as PE, or you have fire-resistant, mineral-filled compounds.
So a big question that comes up, and it's something I wondered initially, is why don't we just use solid aluminum? Why complicate it with a core?
It's a great question. And it comes down to a really elegant engineering advantage. It's essentially taking the mechanical principle of an I-beam and flattening it out.
Oh, I like that analogy. Break that down for us.
Think about an I-beam in construction. You have the top and bottom horizontal pieces, the flanges. They take the tension and compression loads. That's where all the heavy lifting happens.
Okay, yes.
And then you have the vertical part connecting them, the web. Its main job is just to resist shear forces and, critically, keep those flanges separated from each other.
Because in physics, the further apart your load-bearing skins are, the stiffer the whole structure becomes.
Precisely. It increases the moment of inertia. So an ACP does the exact same thing. The two thin aluminum skins are your flanges. They do the structural work.
And the polyethylene or mineral core acts as the web.
Yes. It keeps those aluminum skins separated at a constant distance. It pushes them out where they can do the most structural work.
But because the core itself is a lightweight material, you aren't adding massive amounts of dead weight to the panel.
That's the brilliance of it. The source data shows something pretty incredible. To get the exact same rigidity as a standard 4-millimeter ACP panel,
You'd need a solid sheet of aluminum that's much thicker.
way thicker, and about 1.5 to 1.7 times heavier.
Wow.
So you get the performance and the perfect flatness of heavy metal, but with the weight profile of a much lighter material.
So the key takeaway here is efficiency. It's much lighter than solid metal, but it maintains that comparable flatness and stability over massive surface areas.
Which is exactly what you need for a skyscraper.
Now let's talk about a specific trap that the FIDAR guide highlights. It's this procurement headache where buyers start their journey searching for 4x8 plastic panels.
Oh, this happens all the time.
And we aren't just talking about a DIY or building a shed. This confusion happens in legitimate commercial specs.
It does, and it's really risky because people equate plastic panel with ACP, and they're vastly different in terms of performance.
Let's contrast them. Plastic panels are definitely cost-effective.
They're cheap, and they are fine for basic indoor signs or temporary applications, a weekend event, a temporary partition.
But ACP is a massive upgrade. Let's talk about rigidity first.
Anyway, so we mentioned the I-beam effect. ACP doesn't warp. It holds its shape under pressure. Solid plastic, on the other hand, is basically at the mercy of the elements.
Which brings up durability. ACP is built for structural, permanent exterior projects.
Whereas plastic just lacks that long-term weather resistance.
Yeah.
If you bolt a 4x8 sheet of solid plastic to a building exterior, you are literally fighting physics.
Because of thermal movement.
Yeah, exactly. Plastic has a very high coefficient of thermal expansion.
Meaning when the sun hits it, it gets hot and wants to grow.
It expands significantly.
Yeah.
But if it's constrained by screws or rivets on a building frame, it has nowhere to go.
So it buckles outwards.
It buckles. In the construction industry, we call that oil canning.
Oil canning. That's a great visual.
It creates this wavy, distorted reflection across the facade. It completely ruins the aesthetic. It looks cheap because the material is actively fighting its own mounting system.
But ACP behaves differently. Even though it has a plastic core, the aluminum skins dominate the thermal expansion properties.
Right. Aluminum expands too, but much, much less than plastic. And because the core is strongly bonded to those skins, the aluminum effectively restrains the plastic core.
It forces the whole panel to behave like metal.
Exactly. It stays dimensionally stable. It stays perfectly flat.
So why do people even get confused? The guide points out it's the terminology, specifically the 4x8 part.
Yes. 4x8 is the universal language of construction modules in North America and many other places. It's 4 feet by 8 feet.
Right. Drywall comes in 4x8. Plywood is 4x8.
Acrylic sheets are 4x8. It all fits standard framing grids. So you see building specs that just generically say 4x8 composite panel.
And that's where the conflation happens. They think a 4x8 sheet is a 4x8 sheet.
Even though the actual materials and their performance are worlds apart.
Which perfectly sets up the next section of the guide. And honestly, this was my aha moment.
The fabrication.
Yes, the versatility of this material. Because up to this point, I was just picturing a really rigid flat board, cut it to size, bolt it up.
Which is how you treat solid plate steel or heavy aluminum. It's a subtractive process. You're basically just resizing a board.
But the guide details how ACP is incredibly workable. It's not just a flat board.
It's highly formable. The specific fabrication advantages feed our lists are game-changing. First, CNC routing.
Precision cutting.
Extremely precise. You can cut highly complex shapes out of it.
But the real magic is in the bending and folding. The guide calls it creating clean corners and complex geometries.
I like your analogy for this. You called it architectural origami.
Yeah, architectural origami. Taking a flat industrial sheet and literally folding it into a complex 3D shape for a facade. Huh. How does that actually work without snapping?
It relies on a technique called root and return. This is where the composite nature really shines.
Okay, walk us through it.
You don't cut all the way through the panel. You take a specialized CNC router and you cut a V-shaped groove into the back of the panel.
So you are removing the back aluminum skin.
You remove the back skin and most of the core material right along that line. But, and this is the crucial part, you leave the front aluminum skin completely intact.
So there's just this tiny, maybe a half millimeter layer of aluminum left on the face with a sliver of core behind it.
Exactly. And because all that bulk material in the back is removed, that remaining front skin acts as a living hinge.
Wow.
You can literally fold the panel by hand along that routed groove.
And what does the outside look like?
You get a crisp, mathematically perfect 90-degree corner. The painted face of the panel continues right around the bend without a single seam.
That explains so much. I've looked at those modern column covers at airports and assumed they had to be custom extruded or welded.
Welding aluminum is incredibly difficult, expensive, and it leaves a messy bead that you have to grind down and repaint.
But with route and return, you can ship a huge stack of flat panels to the job site.
Very cheap to ship.
And then the fabricators just route them and fold them into 3D cassettes or trays right there on site.
It changes the panel from a simple 2D cladding surface into a structural 3D building block. FIDAR also notes this flexibility allows for curved facades.
Right, shaping it without losing structural integrity.
You try to curve a solid steel plate, you need a massive multi-ton press break, and you risk stress fracturing the metal.
Or whitening the metal at the bend radius.
Exactly. But the ACP core supports the bend, giving you these sweeping, smooth, consistent curves.
Okay, so it can be shaped into almost anything, but none of that architectural origami matters if the outer skin degrades and looks terrible after a few years.
Surviving the elements is half the battle.
And the guide dives deep into durability and protective finishes. We aren't just talking about bare metal.
No, the aluminum skins are coated. And the FIDAR guide highlights two main types, polyester coatings and PVDF coatings.
Let's focus on the PVDF because that seems to be the heavy hitter for exteriors.
It is the absolute gold standard. PVDF stands for polyvinylene fluoride. You'll often hear it specified under brand names like Kynar.
And these coatings aren't just for adding a pretty color.
Not at all. Their primary function is resistance. resistance against harsh UV radiation from the sun, moisture, salt spray, and environmental pollutants.
What makes PVDF so much better than, say, a really good exterior house paint from the hardware store?
It comes down to chemistry, the atomic bond. PVDF is based on the bond between carbon and fluorine.
Okay.
That carbon-fluorine bond happens to be one of the strongest chemical bonds in organic chemistry. It requires a massive amount of energy to break it apart.
And out in the real world, the energy trying to break that bond is ultraviolet radiation.
Exactly. UV photons are constantly hammering the building, trying to smash those chemical bonds. In standard plastic or cheap paint, they eventually succeed.
The resin breaks down.
And you get that chalky residue on the surface, or the color fades entirely.
But the PVDF coating just shrugs it off.
The bond is too strong for the UV energy to break. So ACP maintains incredible stability, what the guide calls color integrity, over a very long time.
Unlike our solid plastic panels from earlier, which would degrade, discolor, and get brittle. So we've got weather resistance covered, but there's another element we have to talk about. Fire safety.
A critical, critical point.
And this ties directly back to building safety codes. You mentioned earlier there are two types of cores, the standard polyethylene and the mineral filled.
Right. PE is a thermoplastic. It's incredibly light and flexible, which is great, but PE burns.
It's fuel.
Yes. So for high-rise buildings, hospitals, or any area with strict fire codes, you simply cannot use the standard plastic core.
Which is where the mineral filled option becomes mandatory.
Exactly. They replace a large percentage of that combustible plastic with non-combustible minerals. It creates a core that actively resists burning and suppresses smoke generation.
It's a bit heavier than the pure plastic version.
It is, but it ensures compliance with strict building safety codes. And this is a major differentiator from standard plastic sheets.
What's wild to me is that visually, sitting on a pallet, you can't tell the difference between the two panels. The aluminum skin and the paint look identical.
The difference is entirely internal, which is why architectural specifications have to be so precise. You can't just order ACP. You have to specify the core performance.
So we know it's light, it's strong, it's workable, and it survives the elements. Let's look at applications and value. FIDAR lists a ton of uses beyond just high-rise facades.
The versatility opens it up to so many industries.
The guide mentions building facades and exterior cladding, obviously. But then there's commercial signage, like large advertising boards.
Signage is a massive market for ACP.
And interior wall panels, retail fit-outs, plus transportation and vehicle body panels. That last one really caught my eye.
Transportation is a great example of a material's value. Think about a commercial truck body, an RV, or a trailer.
You're dealing with vibration and weight limit.
Exactly. If you're hauling cargo, every pound that the trailer itself weighs is a pound of cargo you can't legally or economically carry.
So you need the walls to be as lightweight as possible.
But they also have to be rigid. You can't have the walls shuddering and shaking apart at highway speeds.
And the composite nature helps with that vibration, doesn't it?
It does. A solid, thin sheet of metal will ring like a bell when it vibrates. The plastic or mineral core in an ACP absorbs a lot of that kinetic energy. It acts as a dampener.
So the trailer is quieter, lighter, and the walls stay perfectly flat.
Right. And going back to signage for retail fit-outs, if you're a luxury brand,
you can't have a sign that ripples in the sun.
Absolutely not. It subconsciously implies cheapness. ACP gives you that optical flatness, almost like heavy glass, but it's practically unbreakable and weighs a fraction of what glass does.
Now let's address the cost equation, because we have to. The guide has a whole section on cost considerations.
And they are very upfront about it. ACP has a higher upfront cost compared to basic plastic or painted wood.
Which makes sense. You're paying for a complex manufacturing process, bonding to similar materials, PVDF coatings.
Right. The initial capital expenditure is higher.
Yeah.
But the real value comes from the service life.
The long game.
Exactly. If you buy a cheap plastic panel for a storefront, you are signing up for maintenance. You'll be replacing warped or fainted panels in a few years.
But with an ACP facade, you have minimal maintenance. You wash it down periodically, and it has a massive lifespan.
So when you calculate the cost effectiveness over time, ACP often wins out. And there's another sourcing context the guide mentions.
Right. Suppliers like FIDAR System provide these in various thickness configurations.
Yes, you can vary both the overall panel thickness and the thickness of the aluminum skins themselves.
How does that help with cost?
Well, if you're cladding a 60-story high-rise that has to withstand massive wind loads, you might need a thick core and a 0.5-millimeter aluminum skin.
But if you're just doing an indoor retail sign against a flat drywall partition,
you don't need all that structural strength. So you might specify a thinner core and a 0.3 millimeter skin.
So you're matching the specific project's structural needs to the material, optimizing the budget.
Precisely. You don't over-engineer and you don't overpay.
So to summarize this journey we've been on, we started by looking at a simple search for a 4x8 panel.
And we ended up understanding a highly complex engineered composite.
The material that literally creates the skin of our modern cities. We saw how the core acts like the web of an I-beam to provide incredible stiffness without the weight.
We saw how advanced chemical bonds in the coatings protect it from literally being dismantled by the sun.
It's a perfect example of material selection being about matching performance to the environment.
Exactly. It's knowing the crucial difference between a temporary plastic fix and a permanent architectural solution.
It's invisible engineering. It allows architects to draw massive overhangs and sharp angles that just wouldn't be buildable with traditional materials.
The best kind of engineering is the kind you don't even notice, because it just works perfectly.
So we want to leave you with a provocative thought to mull over.
Next time you're walking downtown, really look at those sleek, seamless, futuristic buildings. Or even just a perfectly flat, high-end sign.
Ask yourself, is that surface actually solid metal?
Or are you looking at a cleverly engineered sandwich that has completely tricked your eye into seeing heavy mass where there was only lightness?
It completely changes how you see the street around you. Thanks for joining us today to unpack the hidden structures of our world.
It was a pleasure to look under the surface.
We'll see you on the next deep dive. Stay curious.